and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict Inn. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about The Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 13, entitled Bury Me Here. It's written by Scott Gimple and directed by Alec Riley, who both worked heavily on The Walking Dead. And I believe Scott Gimple is the showrunner.
Right.
Gary, we watched the episode twice. We did our instant cast and we said we loved it. How do you feel now that we watched it a second time?
Still love it. It was a great episode. It was a great comeback for Morgan. I've seen a lot of people talk about the British actors and their training, their schooling.
Yeah.
I agree. He acted his ass off.
Yeah, he's on a new level. And they've been talking about that lately also, because with the movie Get Out, the main star, I don't know his name, but I believe he's British. He was also on Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Which was really good. Like, I think he's like on the second episode. I don't know. But he's on Black Mirror. Yeah, he's on one of the episodes. But he's a good actor. And yeah, Morgan did a damn good job. Or Lenny James did a really good job. So they're doing something in those British schools, those acting schools out there. They're not playing. I love the episode. I really did. But before we get started on our likes, dislikes, and listener letters and award and prediction, which I'll brag later about my prediction.
Yes, she will.
A few small announcements. We have American Crime Series. We're going to be covering that show. It will probably come out on Thursdays until The Walking Dead is over, and then we'll be able to record earlier. That will be on our Verdict Inn feed. So if you listen to our Season 2 of American Crime, not to be confused with American Crime, the one with OJ, which we did that one too. This is the American Crime with like Regina King and the different actors, and they change characters every season. So we're doing that, the Verdict Inn feed. Make sure you check that out Thursdays. And then also, someone had recommended Billions to us a few months ago. I can't recall who it was, but thank you for that. That show's amazing. I'm binging season 1. It's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, I got to jump on it.
Yeah, that's all of my announcements. All right, first on the likes list. So when Sunday night came, 9 o'clock came by fast. And next thing I know, it was like 9:05 when I turned on to The Walking Dead. So we kind of missed those first few minutes. So watching it for the second time today, and we see the episode starts off with the flash forward. I know if I had watched it Sunday night, or it was there those first few minutes Sunday night, I would have been thinking, what the hell are they being so dramatic for? Because the flash forward shows them like putting the one little melon in the back of the truck. The music's heavy. They look real sad. I'm like, you know, I would have thought they were overdoing it.
Right.
But now having seen everything that took place, we know this is after the fact, after Ben died and everything like that. So I kind of liked seeing that small flash forward.
It was. It was a good scene.
Next is the kingdom being impressed with Carol taking down all the walkers. When they came out there, it was like 5 guys, and they come out there, and Carol's killed like 6 or 7 walkers on her own.
Killed like 20 of them.
Yeah, and they're like, we were just about to come out there and help you. She's like, what? So I appreciate that.
Carol, like, it wasn't like it was 50 or anything. It was just 25.
Yeah, just 25 walkers. But it shows you not even how far Carol has gone since the series began, but even Rick. I mean, Rick was scared as shit that first episode, which he had a right to be.
I was scared as shit the first episode.
Yeah, I'm still scared. I'm like, run away from these. I would really probably be like Eugene.
Is the first episode the little girl with the doll?
Yeah. Yep, the little girl with the doll, which everyone, there's like always at least 1 or 2 girls dressed that way for the comic conventions and the Walking Dead Stalker Con. But yeah, Carol kicking ass with those walkers. We kind of seen her. She's kind of been in sleep mode lately, so it was good to see her out there, you know, living life. And at this point, killing walkers is living life. All right, next on the list is Ben offering to miss the drop in order to learn from Carol, and she turned him down. I didn't notice this Sunday night. I wasn't paying attention to what he was saying to her.
So is Carol to blame?
I mean, we can't blame Carol, but just going back to him saying that, like, oh, I can miss my drop. You know, it's no big deal. I want to learn from you. And she turned him down. And I don't know if this is bringing bad memories to her for she did it with the last little boy that was in Alexandria. I mean, she didn't do that exact same thing. But remember that little boy that always went hanging around?
Yeah.
Jesse's kid. So I don't know if this is flashbacks to her or if she doesn't want to be with kids because her daughter died, then the little girls died, and every kid she comes into contact with dies.
Right.
Except for Judith. She was able to save... Well, she wasn't really there to save Judith, but Judith is the only kid that has not died that's come in contact with her.
That's not true.
I mean, if you say Carl, fine.
No, I'm saying there was a whole prison full of kids.
Yeah, but the ones that she gets close bonds with, they die.
No, she did a pretty good job trying to teach self-defense to the prisoner kids. Hell, the prisoner kids, but the kids at the prison.
Right.
It just so happened that...
But where are they now, then? They're dead. They're dead. We don't have any other kids from the prison. Either way, it was cool. It was cool. I'm not blaming Carol for all these kids' death. Were some of them her fault? Yes, some of them were her fault.
How?
I mean, the little Lizzie, Izzy, whatever, I mean, the little girl.
Besides the one she killed.
No, but, I mean, she knew that. Did she know that girl was crazy?
I don't think so.
I remember when she told the little girl, was like, yeah, look at the flowers, Izzy. And she, you know, she was in chill mode. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, let me not blame Carol. Let's not jump there. I'm not even going to go there.
Less.
Okay, I won't go there.
No, you not jump there.
Yeah, I won't go there.
You're always going too far.
Sorry. Went a little too far there. All right, this girl, the next scene, she had a few little funny parts I liked. I don't know if I'm going to get her name right, but Nabitha, the girl that was at the kingdom. I liked it when she came up to talk to Ezekiel to tell him about whatever was going on with the garden. And she's like, not trying to get close to that tiger. I'm good right here.
Right. It's still a wild animal.
And then her wearing hijab. I'm pronouncing it correctly. Hijab. I like that. They didn't make notice of it, but it just shows not only that she has, like, some people are keeping their faith alive, even in the apocalypse.
Right.
I mean, we've seen it with Pastor Gabriel.
Yes.
But.
Jesus.
Jesus. No, Jesus is totally different. But at the same time, I do want to see other aspects of it. Nothing wrong with her, but going back to Pastor Gabriel, like, you don't only have to be a pastor if you're wearing the pastor suit, you know?
Right.
Like, so sometimes it feels like they push stuff a little too far. Like, if Pastor Gabriel's not wearing his pastor suit, we don't think he's a pastor anymore. He could wear jeans and a t-shirt, and we still get it. But I did like the fact that she had her hijab on. And then even her speech to Ezekiel saying, you know, don't worry, this will grow back. I think that kind of leads to his decision on fighting the saviors, because he knows everything. It's like the circle of life. Everything will grow back.
Right. No matter how bad it gets, if the kingdom fall, they get rebuilt.
And Rick and their crew know that more than anyone. They've had so many different homes that
they had to rebuild a lot.
They've had to rebuild a lot where they felt like, damn, this is the best we're going to get. And then something else happened. So.
Right.
And then last on her part was when she said, I think I just pissed myself. She was just funny. So I hope we get to see a little bit more of her.
I don't know. I always get nervous when they give somebody a little bit of speaking parts or start giving them more and more speaking parts.
Yeah.
Because, you know, especially somebody like her, she just came. We just meet her for the first time.
She seems sweet.
Right.
Good sense of humor.
So next episode, they give her another speaking part. You know, then after that, she's dead.
Yeah.
They try to build her up right quick so they could kill her.
They build them up too quick sometimes. Like, they may give her one or two episodes. Well, there's only 3 episodes left at this point. So we'll see if she makes it through the season.
I doubt it.
All right, next on the likes list, Richard, when he was talking to Morgan, and he said, when the day comes that you can't be that good, don't beat yourself up about it. So I liked it because it kind of played later to after he killed him. He's like, shit, you know, I had to do something that wasn't good, but I'm not going to beat myself up about it. Although he did. But
he did.
I still liked it.
Yeah, he got a taste of blood. It seems like once he get a little bit of taste of blood, he just flip all the way out.
Full crazy.
They go full crazy. It's clear everywhere.
He's like a vampire. Vampires can't have a little bit of blood. They can't get just... I'm trying to think, what's the vampire? Is it the Twilight one? Where they get a little taste of human blood And they go, they can't, they only have to have animal blood. you get that human blood, you just gone too far.
Morgan can only kill walkers.
Yeah, you only kill walkers.
To kill a human is his own.
It's crazy. All right, Jerry, one of our favorite characters, when he said, don't interrupt the king. Dude. It was funny. I liked it. I mean, he got hit for it, so I hope him saying that was worth it. Or what did he expect to happen when he said, don't interrupt the king? When he was talking to the saviors.
Like I mentioned in the instant cast. I mean, Jerry's somebody that you want on your side, just period. He's always on the job. I mean, he didn't know what would happen. Because isn't this his first time going out with him?
No, Jerry's always there.
He's always there?
Yeah.
Well, why did it seem like he kind of had to beg to go this time or something?
I think it's because he was eating. And I think Ezekiel was like, you know, put that food away when we go on our mission.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But Jerry's always out there. I like Jerry because his personality, like, shit is going bad. You know, you're slaving over here to people, but he's still smiling. You know, he sees the good in things. He's still happy.
But, you know, Jerry learned his lesson real quick.
Man, they better not kill Jerry's spirit. They better not do that.
Learned a hard lesson.
All right, and then watching the second time, and I think at this point when we realized that, when the guy, the savior guy said, hey, give us your guns, and everyone raised their gun, I noticed on the second time that Richard was the only one that didn't raise his gun. And it's because he was like, okay, here we go, you know?
Yeah, so it's those, he was ready.
He was ready. It's those small little signs. To me, they could have did a little bit better at kind of faking it. Because I think almost immediately, you're the one that starts saying, Richard, like, as soon as when they got out of the car.
Oh, the carts.
And the carts were there. You're like, Richard set this up.
Right. I mean, for the most part, this episode was pretty predictable.
It'd
be still good nonetheless. It was still a great episode, but it was predictable.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew Ben was going to die.
We did, but he did die. I thought he would die because he was going to protect someone else or something like that. So he really was the victim. I mean, he was the target.
He did go out on top because he did, you know, protect Jerry. He called a guy Rat Face.
Yeah, I wonder if the guy shot him for that.
I think so. Because remember when he said Rat Face, the guy kind of looked at him.
Yeah. That's that petty. That's an old.
Super petty.
Super petty.
Oh, Rat Face. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to show you. But I know the guy didn't think he would die. I mean, he shot him in the leg. At the same time, you shoot somebody in the zombie apocalypse, anything can happen. All right, so Morgan's flashes to clear once the whole Benjamin death thing happened. I kind of like that. I mean, we're big Walking Dead fans, so of course we remember it. But I think casual viewers, when it brought it back, it was like, oh, shit, I remember. You know, I remember Morgan going crazy and everything like that. And I don't want to use the word crazy to offend anyone. So just heads up on that. But, you know, when he was going through whatever he was going through.
Yeah.
So I like seeing those flashes and just seeing his family. And even when they brought up Dwayne, you know, I was like, you have to remember, these people lost a lot. He's lost his whole family.
Yeah.
Which is why I think him and Carol can relate.
Actually, he was the first person that we realized lost someone. Remember his wife from the first episode.
Right.
That was back in the days when walkers could grab the doorknob and just and try to open the door.
Yep.
That's when, you know, walkers were new. It's like, you know,
and the walker, she never left town. She stayed in the neighborhood.
And she just kept, he said she always come back.
Yeah.
Always came back to the house. So walkers is chilling, just casually just scrolling the streets and shit.
Yeah. That's kind of like scary, spooky if a walker came back. Like, I think if they were going to have the Walking Dead be a little scary, because right now it's not scary at all, that's kind of scary. Like, if the walker somehow somewhat remembers you and tries to come back and eat its own family.
Well, the thing is, in the beginning, they wanted us to fear the walkers. Now we have to fear the people.
Yes, but it wouldn't be bad to do both.
It wouldn't be, but they probably try to put that in there. But they can't go back.
Yeah.
They can't go back to the walker holding the doll. The walker just opened the door. And remember, she was trying to look through the peephole.
Was she?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And she kept trying to look like she seen somebody in the peephole.
Yeah, that's very scary.
Yeah.
It's kind of what The Strain does that on their shows. Like, as far as their walkers or whatever, they go back to their family, their loved ones.
It's like the walkers are so much advanced then.
Yeah. I kind of like the advanced walkers. We don't need to go too advanced, like World War Z or I Am Legend, anything like that. That's too scary.
Or Thriller.
Thriller.
Play music, they start dancing.
Right.
Someone see that.
We don't need to go. I was thinking of that Key and Peele clip or whatever for their walkers clip that you were showing me. But yeah, I liked it. I liked it when they were a little bit scary, but either way, Morgan's flashbacks were cool. All right, so the quote of tonight's episode or Sunday night's episode was, to injure an opponent is to injure yourself. To control aggression without inflicting injury is the art of peace. I think Morgan wanted to believe in that saying, that quote. Ben, he was so happy, he probably believed in it. It looks like that was kind of the last words he might have said to Morgan as well.
Yeah.
You know, to injure an opponent is to injure yourself. Now, if you take that whole quote as a whole, it makes sense. You know, you don't want to, I always say, don't give in to your emotions. Keep calm. Like, right. It's like having...
don't give anyone all your power.
Yeah, don't give someone all your power. Someone, you know, what's it? Road rage and, you know, you're honking your horn back at them. Now you gave them all your power.
Yeah, I've had people mess up my whole day before.
You know what? I usually
early in the morning
try not to give in to road rage, but sometimes I'd be like, F it. But, you know, sometimes you just get on your petty and you're like, you have the nerve to honk at me? I'm working, honking back at you. But afterwards, I feel like an idiot for giving them that power. And it's not like I injured them, but it's the same kind of concept, you know? And it's if you can control that anger and you control your reaction, then you'll have more peace. And I find it kind of sad that Morgan can no longer live that peaceful life. And I know a lot of people would disagree, but I liked him being at peace and not wanting to kill and kind of, you know, it's what Bob told Rick a long time ago. Like, this is a nightmare. And if you start living life as if this nightmare is real, how are you going to come back to the real world when the nightmare is over?
Oh, that's deep.
Thank you. I try. I do a little something here every now and then.
Okay.
All right. Richard's speech to Morgan. You like this, so why don't you go and explain it a little more?
I love the speech, and I thought everything Richard did was necessary. Although Ben got killed, I mean, someone had to die. Like Richard said, somebody had to die. We could use this. I appreciate what Richard said. In fact, Richard became one of my favorite characters toward the end of his short life or short time we spent together.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew something had to be done. And you saw Richard wasn't backing down ever. Anytime they went out and they had words, Richard stood up. The king had to back him down. You know, Richard got spanked a lot. You know, he got, saviors roughed him up a couple of times. Going back to his speech to Morgan. He told Morgan, you know, it wasn't for you, it was for me. And he told him the reason why. Because when I think the apocalypse first started, and a little bit before that, when a group of a militant group or whatever came and raided the jungle wherever they were standing in, and he didn't have the courage to fight. He ran then. His wife died. Shortly after that, his daughter died. So he knows the consequences of not doing anything. By not doing anything, you lose everything. And I think at the kingdom, they just had, you know, so much, you know, like the kingdom is peace if you think about it. Saviors never been inside. They're growing food. They're living life. So the way that could, and I know that, you know, he set up, he tried to bait the saviors.
Mm-hmm.
But sooner or later, something was going to happen. Sooner or later. And even if nothing happened, the Savior still probably would have to remind them later. Like, oh, you know, nothing happened in a while. You know, they're getting slacked. They were friends. We coming up to the meeting, greeting each other. Let's kill somebody right quick. We know how the Savior think. Let's go ahead and raid the little town right quick. You know, let them know that we're not friends or buddies. And they need to start coming back with the pork and not the fruit anymore.
Possibly. The part I liked about Richard's speech mostly was when he said, when he was telling Morgan, you know, what will tell the saviors. Like, we know how to go on. We understand. It was almost like he set up his death speech for Morgan.
Well, he did.
Well, not intentionally. I don't think intentionally, but.
In fact, he was reciting the death speech when Morgan hit him.
No.
He was. He was telling, he said, yeah, we understand, you know, whatever.
What, for real?
Yeah. He was telling them that. The saviors, like, yeah, he said, you know, we know now, we understand.
That's probably why Morgan, like, because it seemed like Morgan hit him out of nowhere.
And Morgan roughed him up a little bit and finished the speech for him.
Oh, now that makes it even better. Okay. That makes it even better. So, Savior 1 sending Savior 2 back walking. I'm pretty sure, that he's not going to have to walk all the way back. But I did appreciate that small favor that he did. You know, when he was like, walk away. When he found out Ben died, he's like, walk away. Don't say nothing or I'm going to kill you myself. Get the step in.
I don't know. I think that he was mind-fucking him.
Mind-fucking the kingdom people?
Yeah.
No.
He wanted to, you know, come off that, you know, when we have to be hard, we be hard. But we're really nice people.
I don't know. I took it as sincere. Like, he probably thought Benjamin may lose a leg or may, you know, have trouble walking. But I'm pretty sure he never thought Benjamin was going to die.
I don't think they have any problem killing anybody. We already know they killed a whole community of kids.
Not a whole community of kids.
They killed all the men and boys.
Boys over a certain age, yeah.
Over a certain age? Like, what, boys over 10?
I don't know. It was young boys. Yeah. It was young boys, so.
You know, Ben may have to be 25 or whatever. That's about never 25.
No, Benjamin was anywhere
between. Number of the day, 25.
He's anywhere between the age of, I don't know, 16 and 20.
That's a bit, don't seem like a lot, but that's a nice little range.
16, 20. That's 4 years.
You know, he's a, yeah.
Yeah, but either way, I liked him saying it. Whether it's, which is kind of messed up for me, because as I say that I liked him saying it, I still understand the mindset behind me thinking that way. Like, he's an enemy. It doesn't really matter what nice thing he said. Like, they still killed someone. So by you saying, oh, sending the person away, that doesn't do anything. That's not justice for us.
And that's why I say he was mind-fucking him.
I don't think he was mind-fucking him. I think that's just how it is this in that world today.
He was playing on their emotion. Yeah, we want them angry. We want them to know what we will do to them. But we don't want them to turn on. We want them to think, okay, we should have compassion. As long as we be good, they'll be good.
Okay. Now, that may be a possibility. Like, he didn't want them to turn on. I can see that. Next on the likes list, Morgan beating the shit and killing Richard. And it was not so much of the violence. It was more because, once again, I really wasn't paying attention to what Richard said. I never really pay attention to what he says. So that's why I didn't notice. So I was just sitting there watching, kind of minding my own business. And then when Morgan, like, just, I thought it was amazing. Like, boom. It was so cool because, like, he had his stick and Benjamin's stick. He's seeing the blood stain from Benjamin's death. And as you said, he hears Richard reciting his little speech. He was like, F that. I can't let this ride. And just when the first hit across the head, it was like, dang. Like, it came out of nowhere. I was shocked.
It did. But the question I want to know is, did Richard already predict that he would be the one to die? Could Richard have been playing Morgan from the beginning? And I'm not talking about as far as when Ben died, he didn't know that Ben was going to die instead. But I think Richard the whole time knew that he was going to die, and that's where he wanted to be buried. And I guess that's where his daughter died or whatever, where the putback was. But I think when Morgan went in the room ready to put his hands on him and he gave that speech, I think he continued to set up his death. Like, okay, I know what Morgan's going to do. And that's why he told Morgan, but you have to kill.
I see what you're saying. I do agree that he wanted to be buried there. I do agree with that part. But I think when he told Morgan and Morgan didn't act right then and there, that he thought, okay, Morgan's going to stand line. Like, Morgan's kind of the quiet guy. He's passive. So it was like, shit, I told him what I said. He ain't going to do shit. Like, he's not scared of Morgan as if he would be scared of Daryl. Like, you saw he didn't mess with Carol again.
But what's the chances of him digging the grave saying, bury me here, and him and Morgan having that little dialogue, and at the end of the day, Morgan kill him, and that's where he buries him?
Well, we know that that is where he went to be buried. So there's no, that's not what are the chances. That is where he wanted to be buried.
Okay, I'm going to put it like this. Let's say that the Saviors would have killed him. And I think that he had everything set up where they, it eventually come back to him. Like, they may go back, oh, the cantaloupe is just right here. Richard did all this. So let's put him where he wanted to be put.
Yes, I agree with that. The thing I'm disagreeing with you on, there's no disagreement as far as did Richard think he was going to be buried there? Yes. The disagreement is on, did Richard know that Morgan was going to kill him? No. I don't think that Richard knew that.
Okay.
Because look, he wouldn't have been starting his little speech. He was starting his speech like, okay, here's the next step in my plan. Boom.
Believe me, we understand and we will.
Boom. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then that brings it pretty much to the next, like, which is Morgan telling Saviors the speech. We liked it. You know, we get it. We know how to go on. I really liked him saying that. Next is Morgan telling Carol how he killed Richard. He said it very casually. She's like, what's going on? Man, I killed Richard.
I like that whole little scene.
Choked him. He got Ben killed. And then he's like, you want to know what really happened in Alexandria? And it was like,
he was using a reverse psychology.
Well, okay, no. He used reverse psychology when he was like, well, you wanted to know.
Well, you wanted to know. You really want to know?
Yeah, man, you don't want to know.
You don't want me to tell you what really happened. You don't
want me to tell you. Nah. Yeah, that's funny. Now, one thing we did say, and I don't know if we mentioned it on the instant cast, but no one brings up Denise that much when they talk about all the deaths that took place.
No one ever brings up Denise.
It's like, Denise was your guy's doctor. You know, she was an important part of the community. And
this is the second time they done ran off a list of who died, mm-hmm. and Denise wasn't mentioned.
He almost trailed off with, because he said Glenn, Abraham, and some more. I was like, and some more. Like, those were the other, y'all can't say five extra seconds on saying those names. And then he was like, Spencer and Olivia. But I was like, well, what about Denise? And I'm pretty sure there was more. And then, like, did you tell him how Daryl was kidnapped and tortured? I mean, I don't know if they know Daryl was tortured, but they know he was kidnapped.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, he doesn't know that Daryl was kidnapped, huh? Morgan.
You do know, because Daryl came back.
No, but Morgan wasn't there.
Morgan was there when Daryl came to the kingdom.
No, but was Morgan there when they took Daryl?
No.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he was. I mean, he had to have known. Because they took Daryl the night they killed Abraham and Glenn. And if he knew about Abraham and Glenn's death, he would have had to have known that Daryl was taken.
Yeah.
Okay. And then last on our likes is Carol telling Morgan, I believe the same words he told her, Ezekiel told her, you can go and not go. And she gave up her home. It's almost going to be like, I would love if they do this, that home is like your healing spot. If you're going through some things and you need to heal.
The sanctuary.
Yeah, the sanctuary and be by yourself. That home is it. So I like seeing that she finally came back to the kingdom where, you know, she's been eating all their food and everything. And she can start putting her weight around.
I think she's just ready to go to war. You know, Carol, she's been on vacation so long. You know, I know she's been itching to get back in it.
Not to mention, when she heard Glenn's name, I mean, she's known Glenn since episode one. I mean, you know, she's known Glenn since before episode one.
She's known Glenn before Rick.
Before Rick, yeah.
Because Glenn was a part of their party.
Yeah, so that probably really hit home for her.
And you know how Abraham got around.
Abraham might have dated I was gonna say Abraham dated Carol before Rosita. Our dislikes list, and Gary, you can add if you have more, But honestly, I didn't have any dislikes until almost the end or till the middle. And it wasn't even a show dislike. It was more of a character dislike. And that was when Richard was telling Morgan, like when Morgan confronted him. And Richard's like, man, you're going to have to kill or you might as well kill yourself. And I was like, damn, Morgan just got back from almost killing himself. Like, words can hurt.
Sometimes you don't know what people are going through.
You don't know what people are going through. It's like, damn, people don't know. Like, you know how people be like, kill yourself. Like, you don't say that to people. And I don't know why when he said that to Morgan, and maybe just because we just saw Morgan almost slit his wrist, it just was sad. I was like, man, people should be very careful what they say to people in real life and on TV, you know? Because that, I don't know, that might have made Morgan want to kill him. Like, oh, kill myself, huh? You know?
Yeah.
So that was my only dislike, and it was more of a character dislike.
Well, my big dislike, and it's bigger than that. Okay. And it's a show dislike, is how heavy-handed they were in everything. They were very, very, very... I'm going to use my Donald Trump very.
Okay.
Yeah, it was very, 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 very good. Very good. But yeah, they were heavy handed. Like Ben, you know, he gives Morgan back the book.
I know. He gives his brother a big ass hug.
I mean, he goes to Kerouac and missed his drop.
Right.
I mean, everything that they did or Ben did this episode was saying, I'm about to die.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been pointing to Ben since it introduced Ben. It's almost
this
like,
episode just being like, who just hugs somebody like that, like they never see them again,
right?
And who gives somebody their book back before the drop? Like, yeah, you know, thanks for the book, but I don't need it anymore.
I know we're going to the drop together, you know, yeah, but
I can't give it to you afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm giving you this book. I don't need it anymore. Yeah, you better die.
And then whatever.
You don't need it anymore.
Okay, so he said those words to Morgan when he gave him his book back. To injure an opponent is to injure yourself. And then, like, his last dying words. Once again, I don't know if I necessarily agree that people have, like, when they're dying, like, in pain dying, that they're still talking.
You don't think they tell somebody to come close like a whisper to them?
No, like, I just thought of the Tropic Thunder scene. Remember at the beginning when he's doing his dying scene? And they were talking about who was supposed to cry harder. But that's what it is like. It's almost like that. Like, come close, come close. Don't you ever do anything I wouldn't do. It's like, come on. Like, get the hell out of here. Like, it's just too much. Which is why Tropic Thunder, like, made that scene. Because they were being funny of, you know, of death dying scenes.
Well, I think everyone should rehearse their dying last words. What you want to be remembered for?
If I'm dying, I'm just going to die. Like, I don't have last words.
I want to say something just so dope and so deep.
What you going to say?
I don't know yet. I have to work on that.
Okay.
I have to work on it.
Yeah, I need to work on mine, I guess, if I want to say something.
You know, that's what I want to be remembered for.
Yeah.
Like, Ben will always be remembered for his last words.
I know. Well, obviously not that much because Morgan went and did the total opposite of what Ben just told him. You know, he died and Morgan went and kicked ass. So,
but I'm saying that even during this episode, our second watch, we still was like, oh, what was Ben going to say?
Yeah.
Hold on, Nicole. Yeah, rewind that. Rewind it.
Nine words. Yeah.
What's he saying? And, you know, that's just something that people want to be remembered for. They want to just say that the deepest thing they can say. So somebody can say, yeah, before he died, he said, kill them all. he died a brave man.
He died a brave man. He told me, kill them all. Yeah. I probably quote something from one of my favorite TV shows or something. But, yeah. Okay, so that's it for our likes and dislikes. We'll move on to listener letters. If you guys would like to be a part of the podcast and give us your feedback, thoughts, predictions, opinions that you disagree with on us, that is perfectly fine. Hit us up dead@theverdictsin.com or on Twitter @theverdictsin or facebook.com/verdictsin, and we will discuss it on the podcast. We have an email from Carrie, and this was actually before Sunday night's episode aired. And she wrote, hi, Gary, Nicole, you're my favorite Walking Dead podcast.
Wow.
Carrie is a unisex name, but so it could be a guy or girl. But I'm going to say girl. Yeah, I'm going to say girl. I was looking forward to hearing your instant cast for Say Yes. So that was last week. Checking every day. Okay, actually several times a day. Then I remember you guys have kids, marriage, jobs, and probably tons of friends. Anyway, love you guys. Thank you. And yes, we apologize for that. Just know if we ever come out late or we skip an episode, don't think it's just that, oh, well, we don't feel like talking about it. Podcasting means a lot to us. We try to stay professional, and sometimes just, you know, shit happens and we don't get to record. So we felt horrible about that, but we don't plan on that happening, at least for the rest of the season, for the next 3 episodes.
Yeah, we don't have anything planned.
Yeah, no plans.
No mercy.
No emergencies at this point. And I know what you mean by checking every day. Like, I listen to a Homeland podcast or 2, and sometimes they're a little late. And I keep refreshing my screen. I'm like, when are they going to release it? And then I got to talk about it to somebody or listen to someone talk about it. So I definitely understand that feeling. Now on to Say Yes. She said, the wire cat harkens back to the papier-mâché cat from Clear. Which is funny that she wrote this, because this is before this week's episode, and Clear came on, you know, they kind of discussed Clear this week with the flashback. So I'm going to have to look and go back to Clear and see what happened with the cat. I don't remember that much. Only thing I remember from Clear is later on when Morgan asked Michonne if he ate her granola bar, his granola bar, when they came over that one time.
Yeah.
And then she said, Rick is such a considerate boyfriend, except for almost getting Michonne killed when he chased after the deer and then threw sword toward her face. Yeah.
I didn't like that scene at all.
That was stupid. Michonne here. I was like, come on, dude.
Yeah, like I said, I just hated that whole scene.
Yeah. Rick and Michonne were so sexy cute this episode. I was with Rick. Don't go back to Alexandria yet. We kind of talked about why he didn't want to go back. He was living life and loving and wasn't having to kill and worry about all that. So I understand that. And then she wrote, I laughed so hard when Rick jumped out from under the box Ferris wheel being like walkers eating deer. And it was like, ta-da. She's like, watch that scene again and say ta-da when he jumps out. Keep up the great work. And then for this week, she wrote about Jerry. So she said, Jerry's cobbler crumb beard rolling.
So, yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Carrie. I like Jerry. I mean, even when they're about to go and like give food away to the saviors, they still can be happy. I mean, you know, Jerry could still be happy and he's eating. He's like, everything's all good.
Yeah. Too bad they done smacked the heaviness out of him.
That was messed up. I don't like that. All right. We have a Facebook comment from C. Cypher.
And this is before this episode.
Yep, and this is before Sunday's episode, after last week's episode. He wrote, they give us options with the different groups. I no longer want backstories. The one thing we can guarantee is the stories won't live up to the expectations. The trash people at this point could have come from the death school. Nothing would surprise me.
That's a good theory.
And I think he's meaning this up because we were kind of talking about, like, where those trash people come from? How are they all alike? And you were saying, well, they could be from this. They even could be from a mental hospital. They could be from different things. And, you know, nothing at this point would surprise them. I mentioned last season about the life of Geronimo. He lived like pre-Alexandria Rick. The Cherokee were the kingdom, and General Miles was Negan. Geronimo died never understanding what the U.S. government was. Gary is right about Negan being the wrong leadership model. Unfortunately, he put sadists and psychopaths in power. Okay, so let me stop there. Yeah, he does. We clearly see that with people that are coming even just to meet the kingdom people.
Yeah.
You know, they're being petty. It's like, why keep coming back if you guys don't get along? I don't know.
Yeah, that leadership model, I don't think would work at all.
Not for long. It only boils resentment.
Right. And that's what's going to happen if Rick and Michonne try to continue with that same leadership model.
Oh, I don't think Rick and Michonne would continue with that same leadership model.
Well, I'm talking about the model, like, I'm over this and everything come back to me. I'm like the chairman.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
I just think that's the wrong leadership model, just period.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean... Because
pretty soon people going to start resenting Rick.
Maybe, but that's how the U.S. government is now. We have states and then we have a president. And everything ends up funneling back to... That, well, not necessarily, but every, you know, there's that one person that's kind of over everything. And that model has been here forever, from the longest time. Now, do people hate certain people at top? Yeah, but it just, the model, that same model still continues. It'll be just like states, though. Everyone will still have their own separate rules. So maybe the kingdom, they'll allow this, but that's not allowed at Alexandria. So I don't know. We'll see.
And they were planting somebody in. Maybe the king will allow a little bit of that Mary
Jane. A little Mary Jane, yeah.
Yeah. Like, what are you planting?
Hey, it's legal in some states. All right. Gary. Nope. Where are the pregnant women? Will Judith turn if she dies? Okay, two questions. Yeah, where are the pregnant women? I mean, they're using birth control.
Well, we've seen pregnant women and we've seen kids.
Yeah, but we haven't seen that many, like, little babies. You would think there's a whole bunch of babies just running around at this point, or, you know.
I don't think so, because, you know, I mean, I don't want to be degraphic, but if I'm in a zombie apocalypse, my pullout game be strong.
I was going to say, they are definitely doing that pullout game. Or, I mean, they have condoms, I'm guessing.
No, but, you know, no one would want to have a baby in a zombie. Like, babe, you know, let's wait this out, the zombie apocalypse. You know, when things get better, you know, then, you know, we think about having a little one.
Well, Maggie wanted to get pregnant, but remember Lori, she was not trying to get pregnant and got pregnant.
Right.
Which is surprising, kind of, if you think back to Lori, because Carl was like 8 years old, and then it's like she starts having kind of an affair, and that's when she got pregnant. You know, but Carl had been 8. It's not like, you know, that's a long time from not getting pregnant.
And then that was a different situation. This was the beginning of the zombie apocalypse. This is when everybody probably thought it was like a virus that would soon pass.
Okay.
As long as they stay clear of it. But this far into the zombie apocalypse, when you see nothing's getting better, it's just getting worse, you're not trying to have a baby.
Well, we see Rick and Michonne getting it on all the time. So, and then Abraham and Rosita were pretty hot and heavy. So, I don't know. And then will Judith turn if she dies? Good question. I hope we don't have to find that out.
That's an excellent question.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Does the virus pass on to the baby? You know?
Right.
Or is it an airborne virus? Is everyone, it's just hitting everyone? And here, I appreciate your podcast. First, you have hands down the best music. We won't talk about that again. You cover just enough to make us think. I listened to other podcasts when you didn't show up this week. Sorry. They did not give me what I needed. They were too smart and made them seem judgmental and left nothing to be desired. Thank you for a brilliant recap. Shout out to those who email as well. Thank you, C-Cypher. Your words are always appreciated. We appreciate it. And there's like 50 million Walking Dead podcasts, so I definitely guarantee you listen to one or two just to get your kind of, you know, I listen to two Homeland podcasts. Because one of them is like two girls, and the other one's like a mixture of guys and girls. And you just get different take, like different people have different opinions. So thank you so much. We appreciate that. All right. We have an email from Chantel. Hey, Chantel.
Hi, Chantel.
Hi, Nicole and Gary. What an amazing episode. I loved it. There was so much to digest and discuss, but I'll only mention a few things. Lenny James' performance was exquisite. There's something about him that exudes the undercurrent of dignity, and the beautiful thing about tonight's performance is that the dignity was still present even when he was cracking, flashing back, breaking down, contemplating suicide, and killing Richard. That man is an amazing actor.
He is.
He did a really good job. I mean, like, when Richard was talking to him, when he confronted Richard in the room, that part kind of had me scared. I was like, shit, he's gonna pounce on him any minute. Like, I didn't think he's gonna let him finish, you know? So yeah, he's a really good actor.
What did you say? He got Dwight killed.
Or he said Dwayne or Dwight or Dwayne. Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, wait, who? Oh yeah, the seconds that went by before he,
oh, he said Dwayne. Yeah,
yeah. Dwayne. Because when Dwayne, he said killed. Dwayne killed, and then Ezekiel was like, Dwayne? Who? And it was like literally a whole 5 quiet seconds. I mean Ben. It was like, damn, those seconds were like intense and like, you know, it was like, woo. I loved it. He's a good actor. They gave him time. You know, I think he was probably like, man, I'm sick of this bullshit. Y'all brought me in season one, kicked me off, brought me back season three, had me act crazy, played around with me during season five. Season six, y'all had everyone hating me. Season seven, y'all better give me something to work with.
But I don't think they brought him on and kicked him off. You know, he still had his own thing going.
Yeah.
He's still on a lot of shows, a lot of British shows.
Okay. She wrote this in all caps. How dare they hit Jerry? I was ready to ride out when that happened. I feel you, Chantel. When that happened, I was like, no, they did not. That is so disrespectful. That's Jerry. He never did anything to anyone. He doesn't deserve to ever be hit in life, ever.
I just feel that Jerry took one for the team.
Although Jerry's
a real MVP.
Yeah, Jerry's MVP. Yeah. But that pissed me off too. Poor Benjamin. I suppose he had to eventually go, but damn. Seeing this happen to him could foreshadow what is going to go down with Rosita and Sasha try to take out Negan on their own. When you go rogue, an innocent person gets killed. Raise of that, I'm preparing myself for Eugene's death sometime soon due to whatever tomfoolery Rosita tries to pull off. Eye roll.
Okay, yeah.
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible. Me, personally.
And we all know that Rosita have bad aim.
She does. And Eugene, if Eugene dies, if Eugene's a casualty of this war, I don't know. I don't really have anything to say about that. I don't know, but who knows? Like, when Beth died, she was my least favorite character. I was like, shit, that was sad. So a death, you know, death is probably going to be sad either way.
When Ben died, it was sad.
Yeah, it was sad. Because it was so unfortunate. That's why. I mean, Beth's death was unfortunate too, but, it was sad, but I got over it quickly. And she continues, now I'm anxious to see what happens when the Saviors roll into Hilltop next week. Gregory is totally going to try to rat out Daryl. Ooh, maybe Struggle Braids will make an appearance and save the day. Struggle Braids. Totally kidding. I just really like inserting the name Struggle Braids into my Walking Dead conversations. Anyways, thanks so much for the great podcast. I look forward to each episode. Thank you, Chantel.
Thank you.
And her Twitter name, if you guys want to know, it's @fashionandfaith. Okay, then we have two Twitter comments here from Allie. And she wrote, I'm going to start saying, let's take our leave when I want to go somewhere, like King Ezekiel says. And I think he did say, who did he say it to?
He said it to Morgan, right?
Okay. I can't remember when he said it, but he said it.
Yeah, I think he said it to Morgan. He said, let's take our leave.
And then she also wrote, why couldn't they drive through the cart? They'll drive through zombies, but Walmart carts, no way. And that's true. Remember just a few weeks ago, Michonne and Rick did the wire cut.
Yeah, but I think they didn't want to set up trying to drive through the cars. They tried to take out the threat before they got close enough to it.
But to me,
where the threat could take them out.
If I see cards, it was kind of like the episode. Remember when Michonne got the hit on the Savior woman, and the lady, she got out of her car and she was like, I forgot what Michonne put in the middle of the road.
Like a dead walkers, right?
Yeah, dead walkers. If I see anything blocking the road, I'm thinking setup and we're backing out. I'm not getting out of the car to investigate or anything like that. So when they first got out of the car, I was like, why are you getting out of the car? If someone put this here, it seems like a setup. And if it's old, still, I just don't trust it. Or, you know, and it can't be old if this is the route you go all the time to get to the Saviors, I wouldn't have trusted it. So, like, for them to get out and investigate, yeah, I would have first attempt to drive through it rather than investigate.
You wouldn't be curious what the arrows were pointing at?
What arrows?
The cart was made into a big arrow.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
No one has time for curiosity in the zombie apocalypse, no. Because it's a setup. That's even more weirder that someone set up a cart into an arrow, and I'm, let me just follow it. You know, no.
I gotta know.
No, man. That's die. That's like one of those people that go investigate during the horror movies. You die.
We've been scavenging so long. But look, there's an arrow.
Let's follow it. No. Especially if you go that route all the time and you know that wasn't there prior to. No, definitely not. But I believe that is all we got there for a listener letter. So once again, that's dead@theverdictsin.com if you'd like to be part of the podcast.
Or hit us up on Facebook.
Facebook.com/TheVerdictsIn.
Twitter.
@TheVerdictsIn.
And just take a picture and send it to Instagram.
Yeah. At the Verdict Zone on Instagram. All right. So, award and prediction. Gary, why don't you start us off with I Ain't Fearing Shit?
There's just so many people I give the I Ain't Fearing Shit to. I can give it to Ben, you know, for calling the guy Rat Face. I can give it to Jerry for doing his job and hushing him. No one speaks while the king is talking. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to have to give it to someone everyone hates right now. But he's dead anyway, so you hate him all you want. Richard.
Really?
I have to give it to Richard. Richard set the booby trap, whatever he wanted to set, to make him late. He wanted to sacrifice himself. Either you're a real scary person and want to get out of the zombie apocalypse, or you're willing to sacrifice yourself so the people will fight, so no one else will die. And I think that's what Richard was trying to do. He's trying to sacrifice himself so no one else will have to get killed. I would have to give him the I Ain't Fearing Shit award.
All right. I'm going to disagree with you a little bit there, because it's almost, that's the same thing that Rosita did. Rosita tried to sacrifice herself, and then she ended up getting Olivia killed, you know, when she tried, when got Eugene kidnapped, when she was like going to kill Negan, thinking, okay, I'll get killed afterwards. She ended up getting someone else killed, and we didn't call her a hero.
Because she was insane for a minute.
Richard hasn't been insane. He was almost trying to kill Carol.
Someone has to die.
No, but if he's a real hero, why is it someone has to die, like several somebody's has to die before it's fine, like, shit, okay, I'll be that somebody that has to die. But his first instinct was not himself, not to sacrifice himself. His first instinct was to sacrifice Carol, a lady who was minding her own business.
Hey, there's casualties.
Richard's a punk, man.
He knew in order. Well, he knew he was needed for the war.
Okay.
He knew he was needed. So he said, you know what? I'm going to take out Carol. Then King Ezekiel's going to want to fight. And he needs me there. He needs me by his side.
All right.
But this episode, he's like, you know what? I'm going to step up. I'm going to be the person to die. You saw he put that, you know, he didn't raise his gun. He closed his eyes. He's ready to go. He stepped into it.
All right. My most likely, or not most likely to die, my I Ain't Fearing Shit award has to go to the most obvious choice, which is Morgan. Morgan, he didn't want to kill, but he had his guns raised just like the rest of the kingdom when the Savior said, give us your guns. He had his gun raised when they went out on that stupid little witch hunt that Richard put those carts up for. Morgan wasn't fearing shit. Not only that, he figured out what Richard did, but he did. He figured out what Richard did, and he took care of the situation. He didn't have to tell Ezekiel or anybody else to see how they want to handle it. He handled it himself, and he wasn't fearing shit.
I mean, that's a good one.
I agree.
That's a good one, but I'm still going with Richard.
All right. Most likely to die.
Oh, that's an easy one. If they're going back to Hilltop, then we know it's going to be, what's his name, Gregory? Jeffrey?
Yeah, Jeffrey.
Yeah, Jeffrey's going to die. Jeffrey's a snitch. He's always going to tell on somebody.
All right. Yeah, since my most likely to die that I've been saying for weeks is now actually officially dead, R.I.P. Ben, my most likely to die for next week's episode, I'll probably say Jeffrey, too. Once again, he's been a jerk, and jerks always end up dying, so probably Jeffrey.
Yeah.
I'll go with that, too.
Because he's going to pull that closet thing again. Mm-hmm. He'll get the brakes beat off of him.
Right. He's like, okay, we let that shit slide last time. Not anymore. All right, you guys, that does it. We will be back Sunday evening with our instant cast. We can't wait to see the episode. We only have 3 more episodes left, so thanks for hanging in with us this whole season. And then remember, American Crime on our Verdicts In feed, that should be coming up probably around Thursdays. And then once The Walking Dead ends, we'll get those out sooner. So yeah, hit us up and listen to us there as well if you like us. Until then, I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Peace.